The message of Easter is it's a message of hope. It's a message of life springing forth out of the midst of death. It's a message of light coming out of darkness. And as you just heard our worship team singing, it's a message of how that God can turn graves into gardens. And that's exactly what Easter is here to tell us. It is a story of God's redemption. It's a story of God taking the broken pieces of our lives, no matter how messed up it might feel, and putting it all back together again. It is a message of hope. It's a story that is worth telling. It's a story I never get tired of hearing. Do you? No, we do not. And so let's read in John chapter 20 one more time this story of the resurrection of Jesus from John's perspective. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped, looked in, and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings there. While the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said, "Jesus must rise from the dead." Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head, the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you've taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go, find my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." And then she gave them his message. In this text, John is retelling this wonderful story of Easter, the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as he does so, he includes a couple of his friends, Peter, one of the other disciples, and Mary Magdalene, one of the women who was a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And he kind of just captures these two individuals in his narrative. I don't think so much because they're that different or unusual or special, but I think because in many ways they represent each of us. I want you to notice with me, first of all, Mary Magdalene, who rises early on that first Easter Sunday morning and makes her way down to this place where they had laid the body of Jesus. It's early in the morning, it's still dark, and she's come. And John doesn't really tell us all the details here, but one of the other writers says that she wasn't alone, that there were some other women that were with her, that they came bearing spices so that they could, in one final act of worship, anoint the body of Jesus and prepare him for the burial. You know, Luke introduces us first to Mary Magdalene back in Luke chapter 8. He's talking about Jesus going around from city to city, village to village, teaching and preaching about the kingdom of God, and how that he had his disciples that were with him. And in Luke chapter 8, and really I pick up at verse 2, along with some women who had been cured of evil diseases and spirits, among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. This woman, Mary Magdalene, who's here at the tomb of Jesus to anoint him, that this woman had not always been the faithful follower of Jesus, just like the rest of us. She had a past, just like the rest of us. There had been a day in her life where she had not walked with the Lord. She did not know fellowship with Christ. In fact, her life was the very opposite. She lived a life of darkness and brokenness and pain and despair. In fact, she's described as a woman who Jesus, when he did encounter her, cast out seven demons that had tormented her and tortured her throughout her life. She had not found the joy that she was looking for. Oh, she had looked, like all human beings, she had looked for the joy. She had looked for the reason to live. She had looked for promise and hope and good things. And she wanted peace and happiness in her life, but it was not to be found until the day that she met Jesus. And when she met Jesus, he changed everything. How many of you remember that day when you met Jesus and he changed everything? From that moment on, she had been a faithful follower. She had been committed, devoted. She had been there with Jesus through thick and thin. She was a supporter of him and loved him. And all the way unto his death. Yeah. She was there at the cross. She doesn't just show up at the tomb. She was there at the cross. John described it in John chapter 19. He says, standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister and Mary Magdalene. It's kind of interesting. There was only one of the 12 disciples who were there at the cross. That was John. All the rest had scattered. They were all hiding. But this woman, Mary Magdalene, who had such a devotion to Jesus, who loved him so much, she's there right up until his death. And now, 3 days later, she stands there at the opening of this tomb, looking inside and realizes the stone's been rolled away. And now she goes to tell Peter and John, the disciples, about what she has seen. She's going to, before it all is ended, she's going to be introduced to Jesus. He's going to be standing there. She's already talked to the angel, but the angel really didn't change her life. It was when she saw this man that she thought was the gardener. And she's asking, where is he? Where did you take his body? If you just tell me where, I will go and I will get it. And then Jesus spoke her name, Mary. Mary. And there was something familiar. She did not recognize him in his glorified new body. But she recognized that voice that had brought peace to her, that voice that had stilled the turmoil in her life, that voice that had brought hope. And now when he speaks her name, Mary, it's undeniable. This is Jesus, and he is alive. In that moment, her life was again changed from a grave to a garden. And then there was Peter. John chapter 20, verse 3, we read it again. Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. You know, people have sometimes wondered about this description of the race to the tomb. Some have wondered, was John just kind of throwing in the fact that, and I outran Peter to the tomb? Just a little bit proud there of that fact. And we wouldn't put it past John, because remember, John's the one who doesn't refer to himself by his own name. He says, the other disciple. But then he throws in this other phrase. He says, the one whom Jesus loved. Yeah, that was me. I think some of the other guys were like, come on, John, cut it out. So it wasn't beyond John to brag just a little bit that he had outrun Peter. But maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was just that John in his youthfulness had an extra step on the older Peter, and he outran him because of that. Or maybe Peter wasn't actually in much of a hurry to get to the tomb. Maybe he was only running because it seemed like the right thing to do. Maybe he was only running because John's running, and if I'm going to kind of pretend like I'm along with everybody else. I guess I better run too, but there's something that's weighing Peter down. It's the memories, the last time that he had seen Jesus. And as he runs, he hears the words of Mary echoing over and over in his mind. As Mary had said to them, "The stone has been rolled away." The stone. The stone. There's something about that stone, that rock, that had always been a part of the relationship that Peter had had with Jesus. In fact, as he's running, he's thinking and he's remembering not the last time that he saw Jesus, but the first time that he was ever introduced to Jesus. John tells us the story about how that Andrew brought his brother Peter to Jesus and introduced him to Jesus. And in that moment, Jesus actually speaks to him and says to him, "Listen, I know who you are. You're Simon. You're the son of Jonah. But you will be called Cephas, which means Peter, which also means rock. You're going to be a rock. You're going to be solid as a rock. You're going to be like a firm foundation." And I can just imagine old Peter, because Peter was kind of full of himself a little bit too, right? And he was the first one to speak sometimes. He sometimes spoke without thinking a whole lot. I like Peter. He just kind of reminds me of me. There were those days in his life where Peter had fulfilled that prophecy. He'd really been the rock. He was running and he's thinking about that. Yeah, there was that day where Jesus had asked, "Who do men say that I am? And who do you say that I am?" And Peter remembered how that he had spoken up and he said, "Well, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus had acknowledged that what he's got the answer right. He said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven." Oh man, Peter was kind of pulling on his coat. He really was the rock. He really was that firm stone. And then Jesus talks more about a rock, and he says, "And on this rock, on this foundation of truth, on this understanding of who I really am, that I am not just a man, I'm not just a teacher, I'm not just a prophet or a rabbi, but that I am the Son of God. On that rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Well, Peter was glad that he got it right. But then the conversation would change in just a matter of moments, and Jesus would start talking about how that they were on their way to Jerusalem and he was going to be arrested, that he was going to be tortured, crucified, killed. But 3 days later, he would rise again. And Peter, kind of sure of himself, Peter the rock, begins to rebuke Jesus and say, "Not on our watch, Jesus. We're not going to let that happen to you. You're our Messiah. We'll defend you." And we remember what Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Because you're thinking in natural terms right now. You're not really thinking spiritually. Now, just moments ago, he's under divine revelation declaring Jesus to be the Son of God. And now he's missed it. And in that moment, a stone had rolled between Peter and Jesus. In that moment, there was this separation. In that moment, there was a wedge. It was a small rock. It wasn't a big thing. They continued to have their relationship with one another. And through the years that they spent together, there were those up and down moments. There was that time where Jesus had asked Peter to step out of the boat and walk on the water with him, and he had done it. Until he looked around and saw the winds and the waves, and his faith began to waver, and the next thing we know, Peter sank like a rock. He remembered that, yeah. And these moments, these up and down moments, he's running to the grave, hearing those words, "The stone has been rolled away. The stone has been rolled away." And he's remembering the last time that he saw Jesus. It had just been 3 days earlier. It had been a normal day, a normal preparation for Sabbath day. They'd gone to the upper room, Jesus and the disciples. They'd eaten the Passover like they had done. Peter had done it all of his life. And at the end of that meal, Jesus did something that was quite unusual. He took that bread and the cup, and he instituted a new ceremony. And he said, "This bread is my body broken for you. This cup is my blood that is shed for you." Peter was still trying to figure out what all that meant when he noticed Jesus talking to Judas, and Judas kind of abruptly got up and left. Nobody really understood why. Maybe he's just going to pay the tab for the use of the building tonight. We don't know. Then Jesus had done some other things, like taking a towel, wrapping it around his waist, and taking a basin of water and kneeling before the disciples and washing their feet. And Peter remembered when Jesus got to him, he said, No, I'm not worthy for you to wash my feet. And Jesus had looked at Peter and said, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have anything to do with me." And Peter said, "Well, then, Lord, if that be the case, then just give me a bath. Wash me all over." Jesus said, "Peter, that's not necessary. Just washing your feet, that'll be good enough for right now." There's just these moments, these tension moments where Peter would get it right and then he would get it wrong. And there was these rocks, these wedges, these stones that were there. They were piling up between him and Jesus. And then Jesus starts to talk about how the shepherd is going to be smitten and the sheep are going to be scattered. And Peter's listening to all of this. He's like, "No, we can't let that happen. Man, Peter, I'm telling you, these other guys, they may forsake you, they may scatter, they may run and go the other direction, but not me. You can count on me. I'll stand by you to the very end." And then Jesus had said those words that just ripped at Peter's heart. "Peter, I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows to announce the breaking of a new day, you're going to deny me three times." Oh, there was that stone, that rock, that wall between Jesus and Peter. Peter couldn't believe it. "No, I wouldn't do that." But then he found himself there in the garden, watching the scene as the Roman soldiers came, watching as Judas had kissed Jesus, the kiss of the betrayer, to identify him as the one that they were looking for. He had watched as they had started. And Peter, true to what he believed, he pulls out his sword. He's like, "No, I'll stop this. I'll be willing to do this." And he pulls out his sword and he starts swinging. He wasn't very good with his sword, apparently. He missed the neck and only got the head of the one guy, or the ear of the one guy. Cut it off. And what does Jesus do? Jesus says, "Peter, put the sword away." He picks up the ear, heals the guy. And again, Peter is just like, there's just something's not, what's going on? It's a stone. There's a wall. There was a divide. It followed from a distance to the judgment hall where Jesus was tried, the mock trial. Sure enough, he got asked, "Hey, weren't you with those... with Jesus, God?" No, you got me confused with somebody else. No. I hear it in your language. You sound like one of those Galileans. You must be. No. You got me confused three times." And when he denied him that third time, the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus. And Luke tells us this. He says, somehow, the way that the trial was going, at that very moment, Jesus was in a place where Peter could see him. And Luke says that when the rooster crowed, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. It was the last time. As he's getting closer to the tomb, and he's remembering, "That was the last time that I saw Jesus." He went out and he wept bitterly. He was broken. He was ashamed. He was embarrassed. He couldn't believe what he had done. But when they finally sealed that stone over the grave of Jesus, Peter was wondering, "Will the stone between me and Jesus ever be removed? Is it possible that it'll ever change. I want to ask our musicians if you'd come and begin to play. Some of you today can really identify with Mary Magdalene. Your life isn't the perfect past. Maybe some of us all have been the son of the devil at one time or another. But you met Jesus, and he changed your life forever. And the reason that you're here today is much like why Mary Magdalene came to the tomb on that Easter Sunday. She wasn't finished worshiping Jesus. See those spices that she brought, those perfumes that she was going to anoint Jesus with. It was one final act of worship that she was intent on doing. And many of you have come on this Resurrection Sunday because you love him, because you want to worship him, because you want to pour out your praises on him and declare his goodness. And here his voice, as he speaks your name, as he calls you, as he brings encouragement and hope to you today. Many of you are like Mary Magdalene, but some of us today, maybe we identify a little bit more with Peter this morning. Some stones in our lives, mistakes from the past, things that stand between us and the relationship that we really want to have with Jesus. When you came in this morning, each of you were given a rock. I want you to take that rock out, if you will. Just pull that rock out, and would you look at it? My rock's a pretty big rock. I don't know what size rock you picked out. I'm not going to do some kind of psychiatric test on you to figure out who you are based on what kind of rock you picked. Some of you may have got a big rock or small rock. Maybe your rock is darker colored, maybe it's lighter, maybe it's smooth, maybe it's rough, I don't know. What I do know, as I washed those rocks, there's no two rocks the same. Every one of them was different. Different sizes, shapes, colors. Because none of us are the same. And none of the problems, none of the things that stand between us and the full life that we want to have in Jesus is the same. Every one of us carries different burdens, and we go through different things. You know, on the one side of the stage, you see this dark and gloomy scene of dead trees and dead rocks. It's a grave. On the other side, you see life, flowers, bright colors. It's the garden. Some of us came today identifying with the grave, but we can leave from the garden. Here's what I want you to do. And I'm asking you, listen, in this room today, there's all kinds of people. Again, some of us who love God, serving God, there's hardly anything between us and God. But maybe there is something in your life that's keeping you in more of a grave, and you're not really experiencing the fullness of the garden experience that God has for you, the life that God has for you. Something, I don't know what it is. A stone could represent anything. It could represent some sin in our life, some anger, some disappointment, some brokenness. It could symbolize some of the pain that we're going through. It could symbolize, I don't know, financial problems or health issues. It could be anything. So you look at that rock this morning. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what does this represent? Is there anything in my life that's keeping me, not just from a relationship with Jesus, I'm not suggesting that you're not a Christian, but that's preventing you from really walking in the fullness of life that God has for you? I want to ask you to stand with me this morning. Lord Jesus, help us to look inside today and see what you see. Lord, if there's anything in us that you're dealing with, that you want to touch, that you want to change in our life, God, I ask that you would do it right now. Do it right now, Lord. Show us, God, if there's anything that's slowing us down, that's keeping us from running the race at full speed. Anything like Peter was carrying that weighted him down. Any rock, any stone in our life that we need to drop. We just need to get rid of it. We need to let go of it and take the life that you have given to us. Here's what I want to ask you to do this morning. And I believe that there's many in this place that needs to do this. Don't think, well, not me. No, not me. Yeah, many in this place today. There's something in your life that you want to lay down. You want to get rid of. What I'm going to ask you to do is would you just come over here and just drop that rock. Drop that weight. And then walk to this side of the room. And when you get over here, I want you to pick up one of these flowers, one of these carnations that symbolizes the life that Jesus Christ has given to you. Now, some of you, like I said, you're already a born-again child of God. This is not a decision of salvation. This is just a saying that there's some stuff in my life. There's some issues. There's just things, whatever it is, that I'm ready to drop. I'm ready to get rid of. But there may be somebody here today that you need to accept Jesus Christ and make him your personal Lord and Savior. I pray that that's exactly what you're going to do. You're going to confess your sin. You're going to turn away. And you're going to receive the life that is found in Jesus Christ. And if you are here today and that is the decision that you're making, after you've dropped your rock and after you've picked up this flower, I want you to see one of us at the close of this service, one of the members of our prayer team. And we're going to pray with you, share with you some information that will help you get started right in your walk with Jesus. So I'm going to count to three. And I think some people are going to come. You're going to drop some rocks. And you're going to pick up a flower that symbolizes a decision that you're making to trust something into Jesus' hands that maybe has been separating you for a while. Are you ready? One, two, three. Come on forward right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're touching today with your resurrection power. Thank you, Father, for the forgiveness that you offer us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you can take the broken pieces of our life and mend it and put it back together and make us whole and new again. Thank you, Lord, Father, that the things, the rocks, the stones, the wedges, the issues in our life that have held us back, that have kept us from experiencing the fullness of everything that you have for us. Thank you, Lord, that we can drop those things, that the angel that rolled the stone away can roll the stone out of our lives today as well. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in these lives. I thank you, Lord, that these are people not just dropping stones and picking up flowers. There's a transformation. There's something significant that is happening in their lives today as they make this walk. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. We let go of all the pain. We let go of all the hurt. We let go of any sin. We let go of any shame. God, we surrender everything to you, Jesus. We're determined we're going to follow you, Lord. We're going to follow you. We're going to follow you close like Mary. We'll follow you to the cross. We'll follow you to the tomb. Lord, our lives poured out a fragrance, Lord, poured out in honor and worship to you. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you in this place today. We magnify your name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless these, Father. Speak to them. Minister to them, God. Talk to them in the deep places of their life, Lord, where they want to be restored. Lord, where they want to find freshness, revival, renewing. Lord, do it, I pray. Minister, God, your grace, your mercy, and your love. Lord, thank you that in the same way that you forgave Peter and restored him to a right relationship with you, God, that you are able to forgive us and restore us. Lord, whatever it is that we are in need of, you restore us today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Today, fall fresh in this place today, fall fresh in our lives today. Fill us with your Spirit, use us, Lord, for your glory. We surrender all to you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you today for what you've done in our lives. Lord, as we've come into this place to worship you, to meet with you, to be renewed by you, to experience that same power that rose Christ from the dead, that same power lives in us, resurrection power, bringing us life, joy, and peace, contentment, fulfillment, happiness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you bring us out of the grave and into the garden. And Lord, we want to walk with you in that garden experience today. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Just once again, I want to encourage, if there's anyone in this place today that you made a decision to surrender your life to Jesus, in just a moment or two, it's just within 5 minutes, we're going to be closing this service, And I just invite you to come down to the front. Our altar workers will be here to meet you at that time, to pray with you, to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. I think we got a video.
Getting closer to 1 minute until it is a new decade. 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year!
Megaphone overnight when Twitter permanently shut down his personal account, breaking off his connection to nearly 90 million followers.
MA cover story. It's a battle of the generations here, setting social media on fire. It all started when some posts on TikTok from Gen Zers called for Eminem to be canceled.
Now, there's been quite a storm after some elements of their media reported Mr. Potato Head was being canceled, with the Mr. being dropped from packaging.
Gina Carano's Cara Dune won't return for future seasons of the Pedro Pascal-led series The Mandalorian.
This is an op-ed in the USA Today, where Oral Roberts University isn't the feel-good March Madness story we need. It goes on to say, as the spotlight grows on Oral Roberts and it reaps the goodwill, publicity, and revenue of a national title run, the university policies deeply bigoted anti-LGBTQ plus policies can't and shouldn't be ignored.
We want to see you back next week. Because next week, did I turn my mic off? No, I didn't. Next week, we're starting a new series. We're calling it Cancel Culture. You've been hearing those words in the news. We're going to talk about it. And for the next several weeks, we're going to move from cancel culture to change culture. And I hope I'll see you back next week. Thank you for coming and being a part of our worship today. We're going to close with one big final song. And I would just want to encourage you, hang out, enjoy the time. There's lemonade and good stuff, fellowship. The train may be a little too small for most of you, but you can go watch the kids with the Easter egg hunt and just have a great time. And I wish you the happiest of Easters. He is alive.
Praise God. You know, happy Resurrection Day, family. The one thing that Jesus said to us before he left is, I'm coming back for you. I'm coming again, that where I am, you may be also. So we worship him today, and I want you to just enter in and worship with me as we sing this song, okay? Yes, the world bow down and say you are God. Every man shall bow down and say you are King. So let's start right now. Why would we wait? King of glory, fill this place. Just wanna be with you. Stand up and sing that with me. Just wanna be with you. Say, King of glory, King of glory, fill this place. Just wanna be with you. Just wanna be with you. So I'll sing hallelujah till you come again. And I'll dance in your presence till you come again. Sing hallelujah.